blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 64 all the stanzas. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. Yea, may none be put to shame, none who wait for thee to bless, but dishonored be their name, who without a cause transgress. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 64.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, thereof Psalm 22. Psalm 22, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 22, to the chief musician, upon Ageleth Shahar, a psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none shall keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, the kingdom is thine, and thou art the governor of all the nations in this whole world. And we have so little eye to see and to behold it, and we have no need to bow to thee. But thy servant did say, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And Lord, that is what we need from thee, for thou alone can give it unto us, who art holy and who dost inhabit the praises of Israel, and that we may with all the seed that shall serve thee come bowing unto thee, coming with weeping and supplications to thy footstool, desiring to bow and to submit ourselves to thee, our King. For if we never are given this bowing in our heart, we shall be forced to bow on that great day when we shall appear before thee in the judgment. Oh, then every eye shall see thee when thou dost return upon the clouds of heaven, and also those that did pierce thee, all those that had said in their life, we will not have this man to reign over us. O Lord, who can break his own hard and stony heart? It is all a gift from thee, a quickening of a new life. O Lord, we beseech it of thee. We and our children who are no different than all the heathen and the Gentile world, and all that do live about us with hearts that go out after iniquity and sin, after vanity and all that is perishing. We have a religion that we may acknowledge thee, therefore, brought up under thy truth, preserved by way of our forefathers for us and for our children, withheld from so a great a part of this world, and yet thou dost make a difference with us when there is no difference from our side. O Lord, give us to smite upon our own breast and to cry out in the temple this day, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that we might see that we have sinned greater than all the world, because we have been educated, because we have been brought up under thy truth, and we have despised it and do despise it day by day with our eyes so closed and our ears so closed and with a heart that is so hard. O Lord, break thou our hard and stony hearts and give us a heart of flesh this day. We are under the means of grace, and thou hast given them unto us, and thou dost preserve them still among us. We may still be under thy word and testimony, and try to bring it also. O Lord, we beseech thee, who has done everything and that was necessary to purchase thy church, that thou would also give the application also in this thy holy day, by the means that thou hast thyself instituted in the sending forth of thy servants to bring law and gospel. Oh, could it be that we are taken by thy Spirit, taken by the hand, oh, that we may be breathed into, that we may receive life from the dead. Oh, that we may receive a broken heart and a contrite spirit, Lord, that does not live in us by nature. No one can give it unto ourselves. Not one of us can give it to our one another, to those whom we love so dearly. But, Lord, we beseech thee in heaven above, who does sit upon thy throne of glory, and to whom all power is given in heaven and in earth, to look upon us and upon our dear children, and when we have sinned everything away, and when we are not worthy of the least of all thy notice and of all thy attention. Oh, could it be out of that free and sovereign grace, based upon that perfect obedience of thy dear and only begotten Son, passively and actively, oh, doing everything as a surety for his own church. Lord, what is then left for us to do? And we cannot do anything, and we cannot bring anything to thee of ourselves. It is all a stench in thy holy nostrils. Oh, it all needs to be cleansed by thee in the blood of thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, is it not a fountain, Lord? Dost thou not say, come and let us reason together? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, and they shall be as wool. Lord, we cannot even look upon the snow this day. Oh, it is so pure, it is so white, and it is so bright. Oh, thou, thy servant did beseech thee to forgive all of his iniquities, and that they should be whiter than the snow. Oh, could it be that we each and every one may be given a desire in our heart this day, oh, to bow before thee and to cry unto thee, that thou may also wash us, Lord, that thou wouldst take away all our iniquities and all the filth and all the corruption and all the guilt that lies upon us and that lies within us. And oh, do make us, Lord, a new creature, a creature that has a desire to walk according to all thy holy law and thy blessed testimonies, that goes over the world with a bowed heart, that it does not fulfill all thy desires and all that thou dost command us in thy holy word, but also may it be a people and that may hang upon the garment of thy dear Son. Oh, then one did just desire to touch it, Lord. And when she touched it, oh, then that stench, oh, then it was all cleansed, and she was made perfectly whole of that disease that was within her. Oh, Lord, we need the same thing, and thou art the same God and the same Savior, yesterday, today, and forever. And we and our children need our eyes opened to see what all that guilt and sin is, to abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, and to come, come as an unworthy, as an unable, as a wretched and as a miserable and as a poor sinner, to thy throne of grace. Oh, thou dost invite such. Oh, then an Esther of old was so timid, But Lord, then the need was so, so great that she said, I will go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. Oh, give it in the heart, Lord, of young and old, to come boldly unto thy throne of grace. Oh, that holy boldness unto a wretched and a miserable sinner that thou givest on a behalf of that high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was tempted in all points like as we are, and was yet without sin. Oh, grant it to each and every one of us. May it be even in this hour. Lord, it is an hour that is holy, because it is an hour that is set apart. It is set apart on this thy holy day, apart from all the days of the week, a special day, a day wherein thy word goes forth, a day wherein thy spirit is also pleased to go forth in a special way, in all the institutions that thou hast given unto thy church. Oh, could it please thee then, in all thy mercy and in all thy long suffering, to look upon us with an eye of favor in this hour, and to separate us as a people from all the thoughts and the cares of the time, which do so easily beset us, and that thou thyself would come with thy spirit to visit us. Could it be for a little moment in this hour? Oh, we can read years ago how that thou didst give sometimes a revival, and then there were those wherein men just began to weep, Lord, quietly to weep. The heart began to be tender, and the ears were opened, and the heart was opened. That is what we cannot give to ourselves, Lord. We beseech it of thee in this hour, and that thou may give it unto us. We do not deserve it, but what of thy people have deserved anything, and that thou hast given unto them? Is it not all so free, Lord? Is it at all, not all a purchased blessing, a purchased favor? And dost thou not look with great delight upon thy dear and only begotten Son? Shall not a seed, Lord, serve thee? Oh, could it be that we in our seed also would serve thee with all our heart and with all our might, with all our soul and with all our strength, that it may be given by beginnings in this hour, that it may be upheld in this hour, oh, that it may be revived also in this hour. For thy own people, thou knowest where they are. And we have heard it in these moments out of thy precious word, that thou dost not abhor the affliction of the afflicted, but when he cried unto thee, that thou didst hear. Lord, thou knowest where they are in these moments, and that do cry unto thee, and thou knowest where they are, who do say, Lord, I am so, so far away, and I cannot bring myself back again. Oh, could it be, Lord, wilt thou visit them with a little token this hour of thy favor and of thy communion, and that thou wouldst deal so gently with us? We do not deserve it, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself? Remember all the needs and all the cares, and the child that has received surgery, help her, Lord. Take away the pain of her body. And oh, could it be, give her a little blessing in the place with her father and mother and loved ones, and where they are in this day in Calgary. Our brother who has received treatment again in this week, Lord, bless it, oh, bless it.
May it be for the welfare, for the sparing of his life. And oh, could it be, Lord, that thou may use it also, and that thou may give him to know that spiritual disease, and that he may be brought by thy Spirit unto that great physician who is able to heal him and all his loved ones together. Oh, look on all of us in such a way. Oh, that our afflictions may be a little means in thy holy fingers, and that we may be but clay in thy divine hands, and that thou would do all things for thy own glory. And could it be, and that thou would not leave us behind? Wilt thou help us, Lord, this hour, forgiving all our sins? Remember also the decisions that have been made by our classes meeting. Lord, wilt thou go before our denomination also in thy mercy? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 216, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. In thy heritage, the heathen, now, O God, triumphant stand, and they defile thy holy temple, and they destroy thy chosen land. And what follows, 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 216.
beloved congregation, Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. For what reason? For what purpose? That was that she might be ashamed. The Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Thus shame was her punishment. What is shame? Shame is a feeling. It is actually a social feeling. It is a perception in myself about what my neighbor thinks about me, a perception about what my neighbor rightly thinks about me, and that he thinks contemptuously of me because of my sin. Thus, when I have sinned, and my neighbor I know knows what my sin is, and I believe that he despises me for that sin, and I feel guilt in myself, then I am also ashamed. The shame is part of our punishment for sin. It is connected to guilt. Thus, Adam and Eve had no shame before that they sinned. But immediately after they sinned, they felt shame. So that they began to sew together fig leaves and place them upon themselves that they may hide their shame. And then they hid from the Lord. And the Lord came to them in the garden, and he is calling to them, and Adam is hiding. The Lord asks, where art thou? And Adam says, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. But the Lord said to Adam, who told thee that thou wast naked? Thou didst not hide from me because that thou wast naked. Thou didst eat of the tree, evidently. And because thou didst eat of the tree, thou dost feel guilt. And when thou feelest guilt, and I appear, and then shame is the consequence, and it is part of the punishment that you are enduring within yourself. There is not the least part of the sin of God's church that has not been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the shame that is due unto them. And this, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider in this hour from the words of our text, which you can find in the Gospel according to John. John 19. John 19, verses 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. So far the words of our text, which speak about Christ unclothed. First, the meaning. And second, the suffering. And third, the prophet. Christ unclothed. First, the meaning. Second, the suffering. And third, the prophet. Our text congregation speaks about the clothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what clothing is that? We read several words here. The first is the word garments. And they took his garments, we read. The word garments can be used in general the same way as we use the word clothing. And then it can refer to any part of that clothing. Or very often it is referring to the upper or the outer clothing, often called the cloak or the mantle. And then we read here the word coat, and that is a little confusing to us boys and girls, because we would say the coat that goes on the outside of the clothing, but that is not so here. Here, the word coat, and that is not always in the Bible, because we can read about Peter later on, and that he put on his coat, and then the coat was actually speaking about the outer garment. But that is a different word in the Greek language than this word, and they are both translated coat. But this specific word is actually referring to what is called the tunic, which is the undergarment, the garment that is worn next to the skin. In the warmer weather, the lower classes of people in that time would often only wear a tunic. Sometimes this wearing of a tunic alone by itself is called, referred to in the Bible as being naked. When they were not actually naked, we know that Isaiah had to walk 3 years barefoot and naked. But that was that he had only on this, what is translated here, coat. That is that tunic. Peter, we read, when he was fishing, it says that he was naked, but then he had only on that tunic. And the same that is with Saul. King Saul, when he did prophesy, and then he also was said to be naked in the word of God, but that was only with that undergarment. So the outward garment, the cloak or the mantle, that was also a traveler's blanket. Thus, when the people of Israel would travel, and then their host did not provide blankets for them, but their outward coat, their cloak, their mantle was their blanket. They would wrap themselves in it. And that is the reason, and that mantle was not permitted by the Israelites to be taken as a pledge, but it had to be delivered to them. And by the time that the sun went down, that is because that was the warmth for them in the evening. Thus the clothing. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part. So his garments, that is speaking here then about the outer garment, the cloak, and the mantle. And of this we read they made four parts. Apparently it was possible to do something like this because that mantle was often made of parts. It had a girdle on it, it had fringes on it, and so on. So somehow they were able to divide that outer garment. But now his tunic, or the coat here, the undergarment, that was made, we read here, out of a single piece, and therefore to rend it, as we read, that would be to destroy it. And therefore the soldiers said, we will cast lots for it, and we will then give it to one person alone. Thus, when the Lord Jesus suffered, then he suffered without any of his garments. Nakedness, congregation, is a shameful thing. Do you think so too? Or are you not ashamed of nakedness? Because the devil today is making nakedness to be a normal thing. And he is taking away all the shame of men as they go through this world. The Lord commands us to cover our nakedness. And you'd say it's a wonder that the Lord has to do so. Is not man naturally ashamed of his nakedness? But you see the effect of the prince of this world, how that he makes men to go over this world so that the Lord himself has to give a direct command that man would cover his nakedness. Clothing is also influenced by fashion. And those fashions are influenced by the prince of this world. And the prince of this world influences them in such a way that man in many different ways is appearing so often to be uncovered. Congregation, are we also influenced by fashion? Does it matter, young people, what the fashion of this world is? You say that it has to be this or that because that is what everyone else is doing? Or does it matter only what the Lord says? Will you follow the world? Or will you show the world what is right? Thus, nakedness is a shameful thing. There is, I understand, more than $4,000 spent in the world every second on pornography. Every second, $4,000. So much of this is being done more and more without shame. Is that also for us? Young people, we know that there are so many ways and that has become so easy for you to indulge in this abomination, in this wickedness. It is affecting men. It is making it impossible in many cases to live normally anymore as a husband and as a wife, so that the Lord is bringing his judgments upon the earth by the wickedness that the prince of darkness is bringing. And we cannot, young people, put effectively our fences around you anymore. No, the devil takes away from us, and he takes away from your father and your mother the ability to put such fences around you when they would protect you. Or will you bend your knees? And we read about Job, that he made a covenant with his eyes. Will you do that too? Oh, you do not need that only, young people. We all need that, to make a covenant with our eyes when the devil is setting all this nakedness before the eyes of men. Then Job says, why then should I think upon a maid? Oh, is there shame? Is there still shame? When we see such things, is there still a knowledge that we are as in the sight of God, and that God is watching over and he sees everything that we do, also when we are in secret? The Lord had to say of his own people, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, he says, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. What a judgment when the Lord leaves us over to such a work of the devil. Our text says that these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. What scripture was that? We read that scripture together. That was the Psalm of David, Psalm 22. And we read, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Was that fulfilled in David? Did that happen to David? Not literally, like it did unto the Lord Jesus. But it only happened to David in a figurative way, because we read there in Psalm 22 also about dogs and about lions. So there were many enemies that were gathered around David and that were seeking the life of David, similar to the way that the enemies have gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, when enemies would come into the land in those times, the Assyrians, the Romans, and so on, when the enemies would come into the land, and then they would capture a people, and then they would subject those people to great humiliation. Thus, we read Isaiah that he had to walk naked and barefoot for 3 years. Why? That was for a sign. It was a sign unto Egypt. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. That was Egypt and the Ethiopians. But now the Lord threatened that also to the daughters of Zion, that they would go into captivity. Therefore the Lord will smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. They would be led away as captives, naked, following their captors. Thus, shamed. And that shame would be the part of their punishment for what? Well, the children of Israel had departed. They had departed from the Lord. And for that reason, for their guilt, for their sin, they were to be taken captive. They were to be punished by the Lord. And in that punishment, the Lord would see to it that that enemy would bring them into great shame, into a great humiliation. Thus, when the Lord Jesus was stripped of his garments, then he was treated the same way that the Romans treated their captors also in that time. Then they greatly humiliated them. That was a symbol of their victory. They were the ones who had subjection over their enemies. It was their own power that they were exalting, and they were exalting the weakness of their captors, of their enemies, that they had brought them under their power, that they had subjected them. Thus we have, in the first place, the meaning. In the second place, the suffering, because here it is about the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning guilt. In himself, the Lord Jesus was no different than Adam in the state of his innocence. When Adam was in the state of his innocence, then he was without guilt. And when Adam was without guilt, Adam was also without shame, also in his nakedness. But the Lord Jesus did not come into this world in the same way as Adam before his fall. But he came as Adam after his fall, in this sense, not in sin, but bearing the consequences of sin and shame. That is one of the consequences of our sin. What is that warfare that the Lord Jesus came to fight upon this earth? That is the warfare with the devil. It is the warfare with the prince of this world. It is the warfare with the kingdom of this world. And he was condemned. He was condemned by that Roman court, so he stood as if he were guilty. All the sin of his church was laid upon him in a legal way in that court. But now there is something that follows. After that sin of his church was laid upon him, now he also bears the consequences of that sin. And the consequences of that sin is shame. Thus, when he permitted himself to be stripped of his clothing, then he is allowing Satan, that is his enemy, to rejoice over him. Just as if Satan has now gotten the victory in that warfare that the Lord Jesus has come to fight for the sake of his people, just as if Satan himself was the one who was the conqueror, and the Lord Jesus has been conquered. Thus he suffered as a defeated prisoner. Humiliated, allowing all of his enemies to treat him with the contempt of a guilty, sinful person. What is a guilty person? That is a person who has been conquered by sin. That is a person for whom sin was too strong, who was weak against the enemy, who could not stand against sin, and he has become the captive to sin. Whosoever committeth sin, we read, is the servant, the captive of sin. That is now the ignominy that the Lord Jesus Christ submitted to in order that he may bear the reproach of his church. Oh, how keenly that the Lord Jesus has felt this ignominy, because he is holy, because he is harmless, because he is undefiled. And he opened not his mouth, but he has gone willingly to suffer this reproach. And now those enemies are very, very careful that they do not miss a single opportunity to oppress Christ with their cruelty. They are not only going to crucify him, but they are going to make him feel not only in his body, the pain in his body, but also the pain in his soul. Do you feel that in your soul? Pain in your soul? When you feel shame? That is now what Christ also had to endure for the sake of his church. And when he is on that cross and they are parting his raiment and they are casting lots upon his vesture, then they do not even permit him to expire, but they are doing it all in his sight. Is the enemy in control of everything here that is happening? It is not. It is not. It is all under the control of heaven itself, because it is not only the devil that is watching over every single detail what is happening in that crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, but it is also his Father. It is his Father which is in heaven. What do we read? These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Say, the soldiers did it. That is right, they did it. And the soldiers did that with their own choice, freely. They were not forced to do it, no. Therefore, they retained the responsibility for it. They were accountable for it. And yet there is a divine providence, and that divine providence is overruling everything, every little detail that is taking place. Why? That the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. Thus, even the unclothing of the Lord Jesus Christ was a very particular point that was decreed from a never begun eternity. And that is not a minor point. No, because the entire punishment for the church of God will be born by him. And that is, congregation, our third point, the profit of this unclothing. But let us sing from Psalter 243, stanzas 10, 11, and 12. On thy anointed wrath is poured, as if thy covenant were abhorred. Thou hast profaned his kingly crown, his matchless strength is broken down. 10, 11, and 12 of Psalter 243. After Adam sinned, he attempted to cover his shame. He attempted to do that with fig leaves, but he could not cover his shame. And therefore, the Lord covered him. What did the Lord cover him with? We read, he covered him with coats of skins. Thus a sacrifice had to be made. the sacrifice of an animal that was the first sacrifice, that was a sacrifice that was typical, a typical of that sacrifice that would be made and that may cover the church of God from the shame of their guilt. Congregation, we do not read of any covering for the damned in hell. No, because shame is part of punishment for our guilt. And in hell, a person will have to bear all of that punishment himself to all eternity. The Lord said to Daniel that some, that those that are in the dust of the earth shall awake, some of them to everlasting life, and some to shame and to everlasting contempt. Thus guilt that is already a worm that will never die, but shame shall be added to it to all eternity. As a consequence, do you ever feel it? Shame because of guilt? And are you able to bear that shame? Because that shame is not going to be the portion of God's true church. They're going to be delivered from it. That has to be because Christ himself has endured it and the Lord has taken away all the punishment that is due unto the people. We read in the book of Revelation that the marriage of that Lamb is come and that the bride has made herself ready. And then we read that it was given unto her that she should be arrayed in linen, fine linen, we read, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Thus we read that white robes were given unto every one of them. Thus they receive a covering. Why? The Apostle Paul says that if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That is, that they receive a covering of righteousness. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as a white robe that is to cover all of their shame. Thus that shame to be taken away is a promise of the Lord to his church. Because the scripture says that whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Isaiah says, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded world without end. Thus, the consequence, shame, is going to be taken away when the guilt of the people is taken away. When they may be acquitted by the judge, then they have not to bear the punishment anymore. Do you understand that, boys and girls? When there is no guilt, there is no shame. You feel that too, right? When you sin, and then you are ashamed before father, before mother, But are you also ashamed before the Lord when he comes and he is everywhere? Are you ashamed also in secret places? But now what does the Lord say about his church? That all that shame is going to be taken away. Fine linen, clean and white. And what does that mean? That all the guilt is taken away too, because if there was the smallest thing, right, children? Doesn't have to be the greatest thing, but if there is the smallest thing that you do wrong, then there is shame. And thus that means that the Lord is going to take away everything. Look outside when you go home again today, and you see that white snow before that any human being has touched it. Oh, then it is so white. Can you imagine what that would be then? To be clothed in such a garment that was clean and white. Oh, that perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a single transgression. Oh, nothing in thought, word, or deed. And so that there is nothing but purity and shame. Congregation does not exist in innocence. That is now what is awaiting for that true church. And that is also what that true church is waiting for. Do you look for that too? Ezra says, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face unto thee." You ever say that too? When you go on your knees, when you are by your bed at night, when you are by your bed at night, when you go to sleep, are you ever ashamed to pray? Do you ever say, how can you pray? Look how you have lived all day long. Look at what lives within you. Look at all that has never come out for everyone else to be seen. Or are you ever ashamed? And do you ever blush to lift up your face unto God? That is the experience, the daily experience of that true church of God. And as long as sin remains, then there will also be shame that is remaining, and there will be a blushing that is remaining. And that shame hinders, doesn't it? If you are ashamed, boys and girls, then you do not come so easy into the presence of your mother or your father, do you? You would say you're not bold to come in their presence, right? You are ashamed. You are backing away from their presence. Why? Because shame is a social feeling that has to do with other persons. Guilt you feel when no one else is there, not shame. And thus shame is something that is hindering also God's true people to come before that throne of grace so often. That is not going to be forever. No, the Lord says that there is going to come a time that he is going to take away all the shame that is due to the sin, to the guilt of his people, from his people, that they may have a free course with him, that they may not be ashamed, that they may not pull away, but that they may commune with him face to face. Oh, what shall that be? That is experienced sometimes, just sometimes by moments here below in the life of his people. That is in the exercises of faith. Oh, when grace when grace is once again coming into the foreground for that people. The Apostle Paul speaks about coming boldly, boldly unto the throne of grace. And that is not the boldness of this world, young people. People are so bold today, more than ever, it seems. But it is a holy boldness. It is the boldness of an Esther who trembled, yes, and still she went. It is the boldness of a sinner when he may be given to see that there is a grace purchased that is as wide as the ocean. Oh, when he may be given to see that even for such a one as he is himself, oh, that it is possible for such ones as I am. And then they receive, oh, maybe just a moment's freedom. A moment's freedom to come in their secret chamber, to come unto the throne of grace and to lay everything, congregation, all the guilt and all the corruption that is living in your heart, and then to receive a little freedom there. And there, then the Lord is showing unto his people what he is for such a one as they are. A boldness to that throne of grace. Why? Because the Lord, he says that he forgiveth all thine iniquities and he healeth all thy diseases. Like as a father, David says, pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Did you ever experience that? Because he knoweth our frame, and he knoweth that we are dust, and then he has purchased something that is sufficient to take away the sin of the entire world. Of the entire world. It is not efficient to do it. It does not take away the sin of every person in this world. But it could. It could. Oh, congregation, there is no limit to that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness unto the house of Jacob. Thus, it was not only the devil that was watching over all those little details, also the clothing, but it was also the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a matter of justice for him. It was a matter of favor for his own people, because he was now going to take away the shame of his church forever. Satan and the kingdom of Satan, the soldiers under his power, they rejoiced too soon. Too soon in the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought they had conquered him. They thought they had conquered him. Is that true? No, that is not true. Because he gave himself. He showed his power. He did not have to give himself. He said, I am he. And they fell backward to the ground. The congregation, he gave himself. He was not a prisoner. But now they are rejoicing over him as if he were a prisoner of war. No, no, he is himself a mighty warrior, the mighty warrior for his church. And he is willing to give himself in a way that man would not give himself. He is willing to give himself over into a shame that we do not want to give ourselves to. And he will endure that shame in order that he may bruise the head of that serpent. And now the sin of that church is said by the Lord to be cast into the depths of the sea and to be cast behind the back of God. And if that sin and that guilt is so cast, then the shame that is going with it, what is behind our back we do not see, or then it is all, as it were, erased off of the account of that people. Oh, the Lord does not just take care of their safety. No, He takes care of all their happiness. He takes care of their comfort. Are they not a blessed people? Satan rejoices often also over the church. But he rejoices also over that church too soon. We read about Edom. Edom, who rejoiced over Judah, that he even took his possessions and he rejoiced in the day of Judah's affliction. And the Lord condemned him for this by the rivers of Babylon. There those captors required of Israel a song. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. They mock with you too. In your affliction, when the Lord lays His hand upon you for His own reason, and then the enemy is mocking, they say, where is now the song you sang when you were so young and you were sitting in that bench? You sing sometimes, boys and girls. You sing sometimes in your heart when you are sitting in the church. And then it can become so different later. And in their heart, then they say, oh, where are those songs? When I came up with joy, with the multitude of God's people unto His house. And then Satan there is mocking Joshua the high priest. And then Satan standing at his right hand, filthy garments. But he is mocking too soon, because that is now a brand, the Lord says, that is plucked out of the fire. And the Lord is going to take away the iniquity of His people. And the Lord is going to change the garments that are upon that people. Micah says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. O Satan rejoices too soon. It is today, congregation, just about a little clothing. The last thing the Lord Jesus had in His life. We have a little more than that. That is all that He had here below. Just the clothing that was upon His back. And that would now be taken away from Him also. The Creator of the whole world. And we read especially, specifically in the Bible about those few pieces of clothing that the Lord Jesus had. We read about them already in the Old Testament, prophesied of. And then we read about them again in the New Testament, the fulfillment of the prophecy of the about the clothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, He set, as it were, a boundary around those few articles of clothing. And He watched over them so that everything would happen with those few pieces of clothing as He Himself would have it to go. The enemy had not control over that. No, they did it with their own will. But the Lord, He was Himself watching over that. Why? Because the Scriptures cannot be broken. And what the Lord has determined about that clothing, that has to be accomplished, even if it is by the hands of the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could David know those details? He speaks about his vesture. And David already, so many years ago, he says that there are different parts of that clothing. And the one part is going to be split up among them. And the other part, it is going to be, they're going to cast lots for this. How could David know that? Well, David did not know that, young people. That is inspired. Do you believe that it is the Word of God? Oh, we have no excuse anymore, do we? Never did. But now less than ever. When all of those prophecies are so minutely fulfilled in the Old Testament, such details, even as we read here in our text. Oh, David, David speaks according to the will of God. Oh, do you believe it is the Word of God? Many do not believe it. But we have no excuse. When we see before our eyes that the testimony of that it is the Word of God is found within itself in all the fulfillment of the details of His prophecies. And then we have another testimony, a testimony that this Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament already from the very beginning of the world. Because what was written of that Messiah that would come to pass in the future has been down to the last jot and the last tittle, even about an old coat, fulfilled by the Lord. Congregation, that whole Bible is all about Him. It's all about Him from the beginning unto the end. But not only about Him, it is also about us, because it speaks about our fall. And then it speaks about redemption. Oh, what do you find in that holy scripture to which your soul does long for, that your soul does desire? Do not think, congregation, too much about your apparel. It has a purpose. What is that? It is to cover. And the Bible says, then it at the same time must distinguish what is a man, what is a woman. Does our clothing do that? Does it cover us, congregation? Does it completely cover us? Or does it also distinguish between whether we are a man or whether we are a woman? But now remember this, that underneath all that clothing is our shame. Is our shame. Do you feel that? Because in that shame we stand before the Lord. Do you feel that? That we stand before the Lord in all of our sin and in all of our guilt. And now the Lord Jesus, He has suffered to take all of this away. All of that away. The guilt and also the shame. You desire that? You think it is possible for you to? Or do you despair of that? Asaph, O Lord, our Savior, help and glorify Thy name. Deliver us from all our sin and take away our shame. In Thy compassion, hear Thy prisoner's plaintive sigh, and in the greatness of Thy power, save those about to die. May that be our cry with God's servant, and that he may hear us for his own name's sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O we are ashamed and blush to lift up our face unto thee. And thou dost see through all what is outward and before men, and thou seest the inmost secrets that are living in our hearts. And thou hast made us so different. O Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou include us in thy dear and only begotten Son, and wilt thou clothe us with that righteousness which he has bought, and for the sake of his people. O, give us to seek it, Lord. Today is still a day of grace wherein it may be found. Oh, that we might seek, as so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked in that great day of days. Forgive all of our many sins. Bless thy truth. Bring us safely home. Help each one in the labors that are laid upon us by thee, in the week that we have entered. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is 415, stanzas 5, 9, and 10. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercies pure, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. 5, 9, and 10 of Psalter 415. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.